And I believe I have with me on the phone, we have with us on the phone, Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God. Good. How are you?
We are good. I'm good. Everything is good.
That's good. Happy to hear. Hello, Nativ.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thank God.
So, Parshat Lech Lecha.
So that's what it is. This Torah portion is phenomenal. And the lessons that come out of this, just the words, the first two words, is amazing. Lech Lecha, God tells Abraham, commanding him to Abraham, go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. God doesn't tell him where he's going. God just tells him, go. And when he tells him to go, what happens? He goes. He listens. And Abraham and Sarai, accompanied with their nephew Lot, journey to the land of Canaan, where, and then they realize there's a famine that forces the Jews to depart to Egypt, and where Abraham tells Sarai, his wife, tell him that you're my sister, not my wife, because you're so beautiful, they'll take her from you.
Yeah.
So it's a fascinating Torah portion to the extent that the lessons that can be imparted into our lives are like, just sometimes we got to just go. We got to know God will show us eventually where's the right path, but we got to just go. You know, this interesting, it's a midrash on this week's Torah portion that really relates to a fascinating episode, which is so, so important. When Abraham traveled through the various cities, he observed the people engaging, you know, in excessive eating, drinking, fervulence, and he said, I do not want to have any part of this in this land. And when Abram arrived at the mountains surrounding the north of the land of Israel, he saw the people engaged in pruning during the season of pruning and plowing during the season of plowing. And Abram said, I wish I could have a lot in this land. So God told Abram, you know what he told him? He said, to your offsprings, Lazaracha, to your offsprings, I will give them this land, which obviously is the land of we have today of Israel.
Israel.
Now, upon reflecting on this midrash, really there's four questions that really come to mind, which the answer is so something that we can internalize. First, what is it about the agricultural labor in the land of Canaan that inspired Abram to fall in love with the country? What did he find in that country that was so good? Agriculture and the labor? Okay, so what's the big deal? Second, the fact that God promises this land to Abram for all of his children as the eternal homeland of the Jewish nation indicates that the agriculture nature of the country's inhabitants somehow captured, you know, the legacy of Judaism. But really, what is the unique connection between Judaism and farming?
Yeah.
Third, you know, given the multitude of labors associated with the concept of farming, Avram was impressed by the two particular labors of pruning and plowing.
Yeah.
He didn't care about anything else. Those two things caught him. Why? And the last thing is the, you know, it seems a little bit amiss in the way that the Midrash sets it up, because the work of plowing, cutting, and turning up the soil in order to make it fertile for production has to precede, really, the work of pruning. Which, what is pruning? You remove the weeds, the harmful vegetation, that it should be beneficial for the produce, and take only, and that takes place only after the plowing season.
That takes place in time, and these are people that were in the desert and had no land.
Right, that's true, but also the measure tells us that Avram observed the season of pruning, and only after that the season of plowing.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense. So, if we think about it, the essence of the Jewish experience really consists of two phases, pruning and plowing. Why? Because every human being is a garden containing within them the psyche both of weeds and roses. And there are certain times that we see a vision of God and a mountain of dust, the ray of infinity, and sometimes it's not so clear. And each of us operates on two levels of consciousness, a self-centered consciousness that makes us prone to, immoral behavior and certain things that we shouldn't be doing. And then we have a divine consciousness, which is the source of our ethical and spiritual yearnings and conviction. And our mission in life consists of pruning, removing the weeds from the roses. So we have to ensure that the mountain of dust does not eclipse the vision of God, does not stop us from seeing where God is. Each day of our lives, we are called upon to battle the forces of darkness in our mind and to cultivate the plant of light and godliness within our heart. And if you look into it, life is really a battle of transcendence. On our own, we have the mixture of good and negative forces that are competing with us. And our choice and calling is to prune, to constantly cultivate the pure dimensions in our psychological garden, to rein in the beast and bring out the divine thing that we have in us. So what was so impressed, why was Avram so impressed? He not only was he impressed by that, but he was even more moved by the philosophy and lifestyle in which the season of plowing followed the season of pruning. Which means that many of us engage at some point in our lives in a battle against toxic and poisonous plants in our minds. Many of us have fought battles for our souls, our integrity, our happiness. But at least after we do that, roses emerge. But really in the middle of this, the whole time of our struggle, that we're growing up and trying to make peace with it, when we live with the status quo of what we have, it makes it very, very hard. And then once in a while, we may look in the mirror and know that we can do better. And we know that we have the opportunity to do better, but we learn to survive and be happy with our destination that it is. So Avram was transfixed by the vision of a human being who, following the successful season of pruning, returns to plow and bring over the spiritual thing. That's why normally you do plowing and then you do pruning. But the way that it's set up is that we first did the pruning, then you did the plowing. So that is something that's important. Enough. You have to be able to look into your life and look into say, there's certain times that I just need to go. I just need to forget about certain things that are holding me back, causing me not to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Prune it out, get rid of it, bring out the roses. Once that is out, then you can plow and continue making sure that those roses continue coming and going and coming and going, because that's the only way, as a farmer knows, you can't just prune and everything's going to be good. You have to prune and you have to plow again. You have to prune and you have to plow again. You have to constantly do it.
To let them keep growing.
Correct. I think that's a very, very important lesson. I think that's what God was teaching Abraham and the Jews as itself. Sometimes it's lech lecha. You got to just go. Go out of your comfort zone. Go out of things that make you happy and comfortable. But sometimes those are the problems that we have. Go into something that can bring out, hopefully, eventually, your spiritual and divine parts that you have between you and God. And I think that is something that we can all take us into our lives.
Rabbi, what about Shabbat services?
Shabbat services, we have Friday evening at 5 o'clock. Shabbat mornings at 9:30, and we have Minyan Sunday morning at 8:15, Monday and Thursday at 10:15 in the Parashas, the community Minyan, which it's a good way to start off the day. So I encourage everyone to come, and as well as obviously Hanukkah is coming up very soon. We're finalizing now exactly what it's going to be. The menorah is going to be made out of, so I hope next week we'll be able to announce it and get everyone starting to work on collecting and doing things that we can be able to give back to the community. So you have to come back on next week, everyone, to listen if you want to know what Hanukkah is going to be this coming year.
Warm up your dreidels.
That's right.
Okay, Rabbi, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
You as well, and have a wonderful week.
Shabbat Shalom.
Be well, Natir. Have a Shabbat Shalom.
Same
and
here.
And I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.